Hello and welcome back to another edition of Dog Talk, where we break down everything you need to know Butler sports for you. I'm James Andrews, joined by my co-host Tom Bennett, and today we are going to preview some of the upcoming Butler men's basketball games. First, we have a matchup with St. John's Red Storm. It'll be a rematch from the game a few weeks ago where Butler barely lost to them on their home court, only coming down to a three-point game. That'll be at 5 p.m. on Friday night. And then on Sunday afternoon, the highly anticipated game that everybody's been waiting for versus number 8 ranked in the country, the Providence Friars. Of course, who else would I be talking about there? And so now I'm going to welcome in Tom. Tom, we're going to start with by breaking down the St. John's games. Obviously, a couple of weeks ago, we played toe-to-toe with them on our home court. It came down to just one final shot. Chuck Harris hoisted it up and wasn't able to go in. What do you think the Butler Bulldogs need to do this time around to make sure they can secure a victory?
I mean, if you look at the numbers last time, we weren't getting too much off the bench, I would say. I think Bo Hodges started that game, if I remember correctly, and he ended up dropping 22, I believe. So I think that lineup worked really well. Chuck Harris was locked up. He went 3-for-10 from the court or from the field. I mean, that's just it has to improve. And we've been seeing him play a lot better recently. So hopefully they don't drop him exactly where they put him last time, which was getting double-triple covered every time. And I think the biggest thing is going to be Simas Lukosius. We saw him last game just hit the game winner versus DePaul. He's been getting more and more press and more playing time. And, you know, last time he only got 18 minutes versus St. John's here, where he put up 5 points with 2 assists. He went 1-for-5. I think seeing him get more involved and provide some of that offensive bump that Butler has been missing in recent years is going to really be the key for this game.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Simas. I mean, his shot the other day against DePaul were giving me, like, shades of, like, Gordon Hayward vibes and just, like, the Butler glory days.
Kamar versus Villanova.
I mean, that was kind of an all-time shot there. Even if the stakes weren't as high, it was certainly a phenomenal thing. And for Simas, he's been playing a lot better the past couple of weeks in general, but really even just the past two games, you know, he kind of exploded against Marquette with 14 points off the bench, then had that huge performance against DePaul. I mean, how big do you think these bench performances of Jaden Taylor and Simas Lukosius are keys to getting the victory?
I think that they are solely dependent on getting the victory. You know, having the starters play well is great, but something that was explained to me by one of my very well-respected basketball coaches growing up was your starters should be neglecting their starters. The game is really won off the bench. So having these guys come in off the bench with fresh legs, going up against some of the starters even sometimes who are tired, that's what wins you games. And Simas has been playing great. I think last week he actually started is what this is saying here. But versus DePaul he started. He got 35 minutes. I mean, you can't ask for much more of the guy. 35 minutes, 19 points, and a game winner. I mean, come on. That's bread and butter right there.
Yeah, and on the St. John's side, you know, last time we really struggled getting stops against them, as that's what St. John's wants to do. They want to get out and they want to run and they want to put up points, and that's not a secret to anybody. They still have the best offense in the Big East, although their defense is right at the bottom there. They have Julian Champagne, who's an NBA prospect, put up 21 points on us last time, although we really held him to a bad shooting day. He was 6-for-17 from the field, but it was everybody else. You know, Soriano, their other forward, and Aaron Wheeler combined for 25 points themselves on over 80% shooting from the floor. How do you think it is that we can kind of get some better defense on the interior and really keep these guys off the glass in this game?
I don't understand how to really stop it at this point, because as you said, Champagne's the NBA prospect. He's down in the paint. Our guys, they're doing good. They're working it, but the defense we run tends to have our big man down low by himself, and he's getting attacked from both angles. I would say probably you need to switch up the defense a little bit, but we haven't seen really Butler do that in recent memory. So it's hard to tell them to say, hey, you should really switch up your entire ideology for this one game. But if it's not working, you know, you got to fix it. And, you know, you had mentioned Wheeler and Soriano. You can't forget about Alexander on the outside. Even though he went 5-for-11, he dropped 12 points, and he was their primary ball handler with 5 assists, hitting Champagne and those guys down low on the cuts. So it's going to take a big team effort and a big change for the outcome. Even though it was such a close game last time, it didn't feel like it at points.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, Bryce Golden only played 23 minutes in that game, and Enzi played 37. I feel like maybe we could get a better balance there of trying to get both those guys in the game and both those guys down low. I mean, I feel like if Aaron Thompson can do a better job of restricting Posh Alexander, because you bring up a great point that he was everywhere on the floor that day, giving the ball to everybody. When you have a team of great forwards that can really go score it, you kind of need that guard that it really plays unselfish and isn't there for himself. It's just there for his teammates and can dish the ball around to everybody. Moving forward now to this Providence game, we've kind of talked about it. We mentioned it a little bit before. Providence is ranked all the way to number 8 in the nation. I don't think anybody saw that really coming into the year. Everybody expected, you know, if there was going to be a top 10 team out of the Big East, it would be Villanova or maybe even UConn. But here we are. Providence is kind of the class of the Big East right now. They look like they're going to be the team that's going to get the number 1 seed going into the conference tournament. What do you think Butler needs to do to try to slow them down and see if we can't create some more Hinkle magic?
I mean, I'm looking at this game last time. We lost by 7, I believe, in Providence. At halftime, we were down 6, and then we just never made the comeback. Our leading scorer was Bo Hodges at 17, I believe. Or no, excuse me, Chuck Harris at 21. But Bo Hodges was really the star of that show with 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 assists on 8 for 12 shooting. This is a team that if they have lost a game, and they haven't lost too many of them, it's been by the three ball. And I understand Butler's not necessarily well-versed with the three ball at points, but we do take a lot of shots. So I think that this is really going to be solely dependent on the offensive side of the ball hitting their shots and locking them up a little bit on the defense and stopping their team play ball and maybe force it a little bit to one guy over another.
Yeah, I think that's a great point because Providence, they don't really shoot the three ball themselves. So even though they also are – it's kind of similar to St. John's. They play a lot of high-scoring games. Again, they do it by banging down low and getting the ball to their forwards. So I definitely think that's an area that we can kind of beat them at is the three ball if, you know, Chuck and Bo can really get going and get hot from three. Another point I would like to make for this game is that Providence has even though they lost their most recent game to Villanova, a close game that went down the stretch, they won their previous 8 games before that. But they also did have to take DePaul to overtime just to get a victory. You know, we didn't have to take DePaul to overtime to beat them. So I think there's plenty of reason for hope in this game.
I mean, yeah, the other thing that really like stands out to me when I'm looking at the stat sheet here from last game versus Providence, they had 2 guys play 40 minutes, another guy played 37, and then 2 guys played 29 and 25, and then another 2 guys at 14 and 15. So they're only playing about 7-8 players there, which is kind of what Butler does, but they're staying fresher and they're playing longer. I mean, in that last game, we only had we had 3 guys in the 30-minute mark and then a couple guys in 20 with only 1 guy getting thing. I really think that splitting up the time and splitting up the opportunity would really help our Butler team here because we play a very physical brand of defense, and that takes a toll throughout a game. So getting an extra guy in the rotation could really change the pattern of this game and the pattern of the season.
Well said. I think that's just going to just about do it for us today. But as of right now, Butler is 6-9 in the Big East standings. St. John's is 6-8, says Butler will be looking to take them on to pass them in the standings. And at 6-9, you know, who knows, we could be on the tournament bubble sooner rather than later if we could pick up a couple of these victories. But for now, that's going to just about do us here on this episode of the Dog Talk. We hope you enjoyed, and tune in to Butler 360 Sports website to watch full episodes of The Bark and read all you can get content on other Butler sports. For Dog Talk, I'm James Andrews.
And I'm Tom Bennett. Thank you so much.
Dogs to the moon, people.
Dogs to the moon.